While I was a student at the University of Washington, I had a job working for their academic computing center. This was back in the day when computers took up whole buildings, not just a small device that you can slip into your back pocket. It was an okay job, really, but it paid lousy. But it gave me a certain amount of freedom because I wasn't constantly worried that my next meal would come from a pallet of Top Ramen, which at the time was a college survival staple. But it was at this job that I met a girl with whom I had pretty much zero in common, except perhaps that we both worked at the same institution. She was studying political science. I was studying engineering. She liked literature and poetry. I liked the outdoors. She liked popular music. I liked classical music. She loved to hang out in groups of people at parties. I preferred just being a couple. She liked eating out. I liked eating out as well, but that's because I was lazy. All things considered, there should have been no reason why we would even get together. Though I suppose there's that saying that opposites attract. But really, what we were doing was participating in the need written into our hearts to build a relationship. After all, God made us in his own image and likeness. And from Holy Scripture, God is love. Therefore, we are built for love. And while we cannot even approach love the way God loves, this doesn't mean that we're not called to do so as best we can in our human way. Some of it, I said, is written into our hearts, but some of it requires cooperation with our will and our intellect. In other words, there may be desire there, but we have to act in order to have something come to fulfillment. Such is the way we get to know each other and to love each other. One of the ways, perhaps the most noble way to love, is through sacrifice. Now let's look at this word, sacrifice. It is a combination of two words in Latin, sacra and ficio. The first means holy, and it is where we get the word sacred. The second means to do or to act, and it's where we get such words as effect, factory, efficient, and even the word perfect. Now, putting the two pieces, sacra and ficio, together, we get something that means a sacred or holy act. We tend to have a more morose definition of sacrifice, as if it's going to be painful. We have to give something up or we have to destroy something that we have. Indeed, that's what sacrifice was in the Old Testament. The Jewish people would sacrifice their animals coming from their wealth or their hard-earned money to appease God at the temple. Even other societies around the globe have had sacrifice to their gods, whether it was animal or grain. But the sacrifice, the sacred act that Jesus did, goes way deeper than all the others. His act was superlative because he offered himself. And in doing so, he made it holy, really holy. That's because he did it out of his perfect love. And that's what we must imitate. For if our hearts pour out for the person that we love, no matter how hard, then it isn't a sacrifice at all. Oh, it might look like a sacrifice from the outside looking in, but from the inside, it is not. Because that's what we do for the person that we love. Now, obviously, my college relationship did not endure, and in retrospect, I see it more of a training ground or practice for down the road, more specifically as a priest of Jesus Christ. But at the time, because of this relationship, the world opened up to me in a way I could not imagine. I discovered literature and poetry. I learned about politics, and I developed an appreciation for it. Hard to believe. I started to like modern music. Thus, wonder in my world did not open up because I was able to do it on my own or that I would have done it on my own, but rather, I was able to see the world through my friends' eyes. Things didn't necessarily bring me joy because I was attracted to them, but rather I found joy because my friend was attracted to them. You husbands and wives could probably enumerate the number of things that you now do that you never did before before you met your spouse. Some of it you'd never have done before and has become something you enjoy. Others you might still never do if it weren't for your spouse. But regardless, you still do them because they like them. And this is what sacrifice is all about. And it is why Jesus Christ was able to endure humility at the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. Why he allowed the Romans to condemn him, and why he carried his cross to Calvary to suffer and die for us. It was all for us. And indeed, it is how John the Evangelist could even write down Jesus' words. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. For in Jesus' love for us, the everlasting life that it gives us, if we ask for it, it trumps any pain, any suffering, or any inconvenience. For him, it was worth it. We are worth it. And I'm certain that faced with a situation, Jesus would do it all over again. Now, several weeks ago, I spoke on both the Holy Spirit and the Trinity. They are not easy entities to wrap our heads around. And historically, we've tended to treat the persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as people that we can identify with. God the Father and God the Son are easier than God the Holy Spirit because we know what a Father and a Son are, and we can project our mortal definitions or expectations of Father and Son onto them and what they might be as divine beings. We get it wrong, of course, because we are limited by our human capacity to know and to understand. The medieval philosophers and theologians, St. Thomas Aquinas being one of them, wrote volumes about the divine attributes, the essential properties and qualities of God. They're complicated because we cannot see God using our normal senses of touch, sight, smell, hearing, and tasting. But we can certainly see the effects of God's actions. There's no way that any of us can climb a mountain, visit a seashore, or watch a thunderstorm without having immense wonder at the creation that he merely thought into existence. He wired this into us. And yet, as wonderful as the world and universe are, can they even compare to his masterpiece? Us, as human beings. With all the science, medicine, and knowledge at our disposal, we still know very little about our bodies, let alone our souls. That aspect that drives us, that causes us to prefer one thing over another, or that gives us the emotion to express all of these things. Oh, we have psychiatrists and psychologists that can help us help ourselves in a very general way, but how much do we really know how the mind, not just the brain, really functions? This, of course, brings us to today's gospel reading, which is perplexing at first sight. Jesus tells his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." This passage tells us that the ordering of God's two commandments is important. They're not equal. One clearly has more weight than the other. We are mandated to love God more than we love the world in which we live, which includes everything in it: our things, our pets, our friends, our job, our career, and yes, even our spouse and our children. All of these things, of course, are important to us, and they help us to exercise love. But really, the highest expression of our love goes to God. And we should ask ourselves if we have made God the most important thing in our lives. We might be tempted to say, well, of course, after all, that's why we're here at Mass, to worship Him, to actively participate in the Holy Sacrifice, and to perhaps receive His body and precious blood. And indeed, that is part of it. But there's more to it than that. For if all we do is come to Mass, even the minimum of once every Sunday, then we are missing out in the meat of the faith. Remember what I said about my girlfriend in college. If all I wanted to do was to see her once a week for an hour, how much would I know about her? Would that be sufficient to see what makes her tick or her for me? Would I be able to see the world through her eyes, to gain joy by seeing her joy? I suppose it's possible, but that's not exactly how we're built. When we meet someone that we want to get to know, we want to spend as much time with them as possible. And when that happens, the rest of the world just seems to fall away. And what was so important to us before somehow doesn't seem so important now. We don't do this by spending all of our time in church, though I admit some of us do that, myself, for instance. But rather, we do this by recognizing and respecting the church's teachings, which are really Jesus's teachings, living our lives according to the tenets of the faith, teaching our children to love God above all else, and then to love our neighbor. They're all ongoing tasks, tasks that cannot be accomplished as a simple chore that is over and done with until the next time. But rather, they must be integrated into our lives and take priority over everything else. And that's the big clincher. God tells us that the material world is just that, material. If we pour all our energies into our career, our jobs, our desire to buy the next greatest item, and leave whatever's left over to God, then we are setting ourselves up for disappointment. For there will come a time when we can no longer sustain those material things that make us happy. Something else in the material world might come along and distract us, or we will age and we'll no longer be able to have the freedoms and choices that previously we depended on. But when we put our faith and love in God above everything else, not only is that ordering our life correctly, but the grace that comes with it allows us to perceive secondary things, including our spouses, our children, and everything else that flows from them. It is this grace that gives us the ability to distinguish what is really important in our lives and what is a mere passing phase. It will not always be easy, but that's what grace is for, to help us orient ourselves to what truly matters, what will truly make a difference. It is supernatural and a gift from God, and we cannot take these gifts lightly. Again, we are called to imitate God, and in particular, Jesus Christ. See what He did for us. He suffered and died. We need not go to that extreme, but we do need to sacrifice. And is that something, a chore or an obligation, more than anything else? Or is it really a sacrifice, a holy action that we do for God who loves us more than anything else? That is what we are called to do.